Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on the 5th of February, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin today. The Hat Podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Coming up in the news, Indiana Congressman and Farmer Jim Baird with a Farm Bill status update, and Purdue's Jim Minter talks about the dollars and cents of solar on U.S. farms. Ryan Martin's forecast, a time period of varying types of precipitation across Indiana, and again a rally in corn, beans, and wheat yesterday. We'll have settlements and market analysis with Arlen Suderman on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, when it's time to buy or sell ag equipment, think Purple Wave Auction. We're your go-to online marketplace for tractors, combines, sprayers, and more. With our no-reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Experience the Purple Wave difference. Nationwide reach with a local touch. Purple Wave Auction. Whether you're expanding your operation or streamlining your fleet, we've got you covered. Visit purplewave.com today. Fuel your farm with Purple Wave Auction.
Indiana Congressman Jim Baird chats about the Farm Bill and how much farmers say they're being offered to convert their farmland into solar farms. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, you've been hearing a lot about the Farm Bill, or lack thereof, for several years now. But over the weekend, I had the chance to chat with Indiana Congressman Jim Baird at the Purdue Ag Alumni Fish Fry. He sits on the House Ag Committee, and I wanted to know whether he thinks a new farm bill really does get across the finish line here in 2025.
I think there's a real opportunity for that, because we understand, as we've been across the states and across the country, how important this ag bill is. And then with the consequences of inflation and the prices and the low prices for commodities for farmers, we really need that safety net, and we understand that.
Congressman Baird told me he's more encouraged now that Republicans are in control of the Senate, because last year, when Democrats were in charge, then-Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow waited until the lame duck session late in the year to put out their version of the Farm Bill, which by then was too late to do anything with.
You're right on target, CJ. I mean, you know, to forestall that until, you know, we'd already put it off 2 or 3 years. And so here we are right at the last minute. The Farm Bill comes up every 5 years, and how we can wait till the end of the very end of it to put something on. And it really is discouraging from my perspective that by doing that, we end up trying to cram stuff in it, and we really ought to have the time to analyze it and do what's right for the country and what's right for our people.
Congressman Baird shared that one of his top priorities for a new farm bill is making sure the money is available for ag research for our land-grant universities.
I'm a strong advocate for research. I've done a lot of research myself. You know, a lot of our land-grant universities, and Purdue is one of them, a lot of those facilities were built back in the 50s and 60s, and they're really kind of ending their useful life in a way for being advanced research and the technology. We want to make sure we got the tools in the research laboratories that entices young researchers and to perform quality projects.
He adds that he's also in favor of putting Farm Bill research funding toward finding solutions for stopping the bird flu virus.
How devastating to, you know, farms like Rose Acre Farms when that bird flu ends up in their facility. The loss of animals, the loss of production, loss of money. You know, agriculture operates on a very narrow margin, and it doesn't take much to go negative. In some cases, it's already negative, but that kind of thing is concerning. And so we do need to have the research and the facilities to make sure we can contain that.
You can check out my full conversation with Congressman Jim Baird as he talks more about the Farm Bill. It's at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Well, leasing farmland for solar energy production remains a very hot topic. especially right here across Indiana. As Eric Pfeiffer reports, a new survey from Purdue is asking farmers how much they're being offered for their land.
The Purdue Ag Economy Barometer has been gathering this data going back to 2021. Dr. Jim Mintert, Professor Emeritus of Agricultural Economics at Purdue.
We've actually had to change how we give the answers to this question to capture the higher rates, because in the early days, the vast majority of responses were at $1,000 per acre or less. That's really started to shift. And if you look at the most recent results, 26% of the people who had a discussion, roughly one out of four, said they were offered $1,500 or more per acre.
In this most recent survey, 42% of respondents were offered over $1,000 per acre. Dr. Michael Langemeyer, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, says it's interesting to see the wide ranges in these rates.
There's probably difference regional, which we can't pick up because we don't ask information about regional differences. But the main point I want to bring up is do your homework. Just because you're quoted a rate, it might seem really good compared to your cash rent. Try to find out what other people have been offered, if at all possible, because the rates vary tremendously.
Mintert agrees, though they acknowledge that information can be difficult to get.
Many of the agreements include a non-disclosure agreement with respect to the rates, but that doesn't apply prior to signing.
Mintert also encourages you to engage a professional during negotiations because there's a lot more to the lease than just the dollar amount, like how the land would be managed, for example. You can hear more from Mintert and Langemeyer in the Purdue Commercial AgCast. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, moving into a very interesting period here in the forecast across the Hoosier State. We've got a significant area of precipitation building today to our southwest across Missouri, coming through central and southern Illinois, and it will move into Indiana. I think we start with some breaks in the clouds this morning, but clouds increasing very, very quickly, particularly in southern Indiana. Rain moves into the state, southwest Indiana, probably after lunch to mid-afternoon, and then continues to spread across the state through the evening and overnight. Right now, if it's all liquid, which I think it will be some form of liquid, but we're looking at likely a quarter to one full inch of precipitation, of rain, 100% coverage across the Hoosier State. Here's where it gets interesting. The bulk of this moisture is going to be coming through in the overnight period, especially in northern Indiana. So from midnight to probably 6 to 7 a.m. on Thursday morning. And because of that, we are going to be seeing temperatures at their coolest part of the cycle. So I'm seeing very warm air aloft, but there's a chance that we could be at or a bit below freezing at the surface. And if that's the case, that's the recipe for freezing rain. Do I think freezing rain is going to be an absolutely huge ice storm kind of event? No, I really don't. But can we see some slick spots and some problems on Thursday morning? I think the answer there is also possibly. So we are going to have to pay attention as we move forward. In any case, the moisture is done by Thursday mid to late morning, and we are still mild. So I think that we see some okay melts of any ice that we see in northern parts of Indiana through Thursday. Slightly cooler air coming in on Friday. Not awful, but a definite pullback. And then we see temperatures moderate very quickly again on Saturday, bringing rain and maybe then some wet snow as it finally ends a Sunday morning. The rain on Saturday into early Sunday will be anywhere from a tenth to probably 3/4 of an inch. Coverage only about 75% to 80% of the region. Behind this, we turn colder for the balance of the weekend and next week. So Sunday afternoon, right on through Monday and all of next week. Arctic high pressure is here, so temperatures are below normal. There is a system passing by mostly to the south at midweek, so Tuesday night through Wednesday. At this point, it does throw a little bit of snow and cloud cover into Indiana, but not a lot. Central and southern Indiana are going to be in the crosshairs more than up north. The rest of the week then is chilly and dry until we get to Friday afternoon. That's when we see some rain and wet snow trying to come back, and moderating temperatures try and make their presence felt through the following weekend into the week of President's Day. There could be another strong low in that warming cycle. We will see if it can hold together. That's a look at your forecast update. Definitely showing signs of getting a little more active here. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Another day of gains in the grains and oil seeds. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'll have the final numbers momentarily. We'll begin, though, with market commentary, which I grabbed at the end of the session from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. Back on the high side in corn, beans, and wheat, double-digit gains in the bean and wheat markets. And Arlen, who would have thought going into this week with all of that tariff talk that we'd be looking at two relatively strong sessions to open up the week?
Yeah, pretty wild. Some pretty big trading ranges within that. And we're simply trading the latest headlines to come out of the White House's. There are other supply and demand factors, but the primary driver is the money flow interpreting the headlines as they come out of the White House. And first of all, over the weekend, we had the 25% tariffs put on Canada and Mexico, where we do 43% of our trade, and 10% on China. We immediately saw then Mexico's president have another conversation with President Trump, where President Sheinbaum agreed to send troops to the border to help secure our border with them. And we saw a pause, 30-day pause, that is expected to become a permanent pause if, in fact, everything is implemented as hoped. Then Trudeau of Canada had a conversation with Trump, the second of the day, I believe it was, and reached a similar agreement and helping secure our border. And the pause there, which is also expected to be become permanent if everything works out as promised. So that would allow the free flow of commodities across our borders as they currently are. That's not totally free trade, because we know there are some things that are still restricted in their movement. But going back to the way we were, that leaves China. And China initially just said that they were going to file a complaint with the WTO, which seemed like a very mild response. And the markets were encouraged by that. Then overnight, early this morning, they said we're going to put tariffs on some products coming from the United States. But then to look at the list, it was very limited in size. Some of it was significant, like crude oil, but grain and oil seeds not on that list. And it was, the market took courage from that, because it indicated that China was trying to be somewhat measured in its response, opening up speculation. Maybe we can actually get a trade agreement. The two sides are coming together, and that hope really blossomed then when the White House confirmed that it was going to have a conversation with Xi Jinping later today.
What are you most impressed with as far as the market movement as we look at corn and beans? July beans, for example, now at the $11 mark.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with soybeans, because I don't think it's justified from a fundamental standpoint. We saw the March contract jump above the 200-day moving average. That's very significant for the soybean market to have a lead contract above the 200-day moving average. The March contract hasn't traded above that in a long, long time. And as we look at the continuous charts, we haven't been above the 200-day moving average Well, my chart just went berserk, but it's been well over a year. So that's very significant at a time when we're harvesting a record crop in Brazil. As I was talking to our team this morning in Brazil, they're talking about how good the yields are in Mato Grosso and surrounding areas as they're starting to harvest there. So I think that's premature, and I think it's based only on a hopes that we get a trade agreement with China that supports active purchases of soybeans and corn by China. And I think that's a big if. It could happen, but I think it'll take some time if it does.
Taking a little deeper dive into the China side of things, given their current economy, what are the issues there and what does that do to Chinese leverage in this whole dispute?
China's economy is hurting. And while they have seen some response to the stimulus they've implemented since late September, they haven't turned around the core issues of consumer sentiment, which is necessary to really support their economy once that money is withdrawn. And that's a real problem for them and puts them in a much weaker negotiating position. I think it's why we have seen President Xi Jinping move quicker toward reestablishing that relationship with President Trump and why they've been more measured in their retaliatory efforts than what they were during Trump 1.0, because I do think that they're seeking some type of an agreement, although I still think that will take some time to unfold because the issues are very complex with China.
Commentary from Arlen Suderman, StoneX and StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday Market Review, about a nickel better in corn, March 494 and a half up 5 3/4, May up an even nickel, 504 3/4, July contract bumps up 3 1/4, going to 506 3/4, 1075 even for March beans after a 16 3/4 cent gain, May 1088 up 15 1/4, July $11.75 a pickup of almost 14, a dime and a quarter better on March and May wheat, March 577 at the close. Meats mixed down $1.50 for April live cattle, 198.65, and April lean hogs, 89.75, up $3.40. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.